I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
So I forgot to change things in the scripture in the sermon from last week. So today's title is Good News, Bad News, Chosen. We talked a little bit about that in a children's sermon. And I'll be reading from the story about when Jesus was announced to Mary and to Joseph. This is from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month of Mary or Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Now Mary was deeply troubled by this angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God's power will rest upon you, and for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth? It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, and even though she is very old, for there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary, "and may it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. And then this from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she was found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. When he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet: "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." So Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to. He had no relationships with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. Amen. So kind of like in the children's sermon, when I was in high school, a good friend of mine called me up on the phone and said, "Hey, we're playing a pickup game of football." And in my neighborhood, we had like little clusters of friends. And this cluster of friends, I didn't really associate much with, except maybe in school or school sports. And so we went up to that part of the neighborhood, and there was probably 15 or 20 of us teenagers ready to play tackle football. Now, I know this comes to a shock to you, but when I was in high school, I probably soaking wet weighed 100 pounds. And I was fast as a runner, but I was not a very good football player, and I was excited about playing and having, you know, this time together and being picked to be on a team. And so when it was got on the team and we were ready to set up for the first play, the guy who was the quarterback, of course, was the coolest kid in the neighborhood, looked at me and said, "Howard, I want you to be on the line." I'm like, "The line?" He's like, "Yeah. Now, we had a certain role in our neighborhood football games. You had 5 second role. The defensive linemen had 5 seconds, 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, before he came barreling in after the quarterback. And I was between him, who weighed 300 pounds, and the quarterback. My prayer throughout that game was, please throw the ball in 5 seconds. Because there was no way I was going to stop that guy from coming across the line. Well, for me, in that little story, is sums up what we're going to be talking about in our sermon today. There is good news and bad news about being chosen. And all of us have been chosen. Because we have been chosen, as Paul said, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people of God. And so all of us have this good news. And all of us have to deal with some, again, not just bad news, but maybe difficult news. And Mary and Joseph, in their story, to me, really sum up this idea. Because who else, except maybe Moses, is more chosen than anybody else, except for Mary and Joseph, who brought in the Messiah of the world into us. And so, as we look at this, we need to understand, for us and for Mary and Joseph, what it means to be chosen. Because a lot of times we have this kind of concept that when you're picked for a team, or when you're picked to do something, or you're chosen for a job, it's because you're an expert at it. Because you're good at it. Somebody says, you know, looking at all the candidates, we're going to pick, you know, Howard to defend the line and protect the quarterback. Well, I wasn't picked for my abilities. And this is the key, too, I think, with Mary and Joseph and all of us. The Apostle Paul, you know, talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Think about who you were as a people, who you were as a person, who you are as a person now, Paul's saying to the Corinthians. Think about that. And what were they? Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many influential, not many were of noble birth. Anybody fall underneath that category? We all do. And Mary and Joseph did as well. They weren't of noble birth. They weren't of high standards. They weren't influential people. They were nobodies. Really nobodies. And yet God chose them. And I think that that's key for us to remember. That when God is calling us to be his people and calling us to serve him, he picks nobodies. He picks people who may not have a whole lot of influence, who may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, if you will, who may not be of noble birth, but he picks us and then empowers us to do his will. And then in that sense, why he does that is that people begin to look and say, you know what, there's no way that Howard Gaston could have done that. Or hire Gaston to do these things. Because of who he is and what he's done, God must be at work through him. And the same thing with all of us. When we are chosen and know that we are chosen and willing to follow God. Mary and Joseph certainly were people who were nobodies. Nobody knew who they were. They didn't have this huge reputation outside of their family. And yet, they were picked. And the only qualification that they might have had was that they were related to King David. Now, that's not saying much in that day. If you look at the genealogy that's representative of Joseph in the Gospels there, if you count, there are 41 generations between Joseph and King David. That's a long section of people. And when I've played around with my generation, my family tree, the first John Gaston, and to me now, is basically around 10 or 12 generations. And some guy named Bill Gaston has sat down and written all the people who are related to John Gaston from Scotland. And on that is 32 pages of people's names, over 9,000 names, 9,000 people who are related to John Gaston. Can you imagine quadrupling that? And also having families who are a lot bigger than what we have now. So Joseph and Mary, yeah, were related to David, but so was everybody else. I'm sure everybody said, well, I'm related to David. But that was the only qualification that these two had, that they were 41 generations ago related to David. That's not saying much. So Mary and Joseph, you know, weren't really important people. They weren't picked because of their good administration. They weren't picked because they were good speakers. They were chosen because God chose them. Now, that sounds a little circular in definition. They were chosen because God chose them. But that's the case. God looks at us and says, yes, I want you to be my person, my spokesman, my spokesperson for this activity or whatever it may be. And we are called to follow him. Even if we may not get a whole lot of notice, even if we may not feel like we're very important, even if we may be forgotten in time, we're still called to live out what God calls us. For example, does anybody know who Mordecai Ham is? Mordecai Ham, besides having mean parents naming him Mordecai, but Mordecai Ham actually is probably one of the most influential people in the Christian world because he's the one that shared the gospel of Christ to Billy Graham. And Billy Graham has shared the gospel to over 1 billion people. But nobody knows Mordecai Ham. But God chose him to share the gospel with one person.
I had a friend in high school named Mordecai. I think Egyptian.
Yep.
He wrote everything from right to left. Like that.
Now here's another one that I find interesting, even more so. Pope Francis. We all know Pope Francis and how he's, you know, this wonderful pope that is now leading the Catholic Church. But the way that he became a priest and decided to become a priest was that he was going to a festival, a spring day festival, and he thought that he probably should stop at a church and have confession. So he stopped at, passed his Catholic church, went in, had confession. He was so impressed with the priest there that he decided to become a priest. You know the name of that priest? Nobody does. An unknown, unnamed priest influenced Pope Francis so much that he became the Pope. God chose that unnamed, unknown priest at that moment in time to be there. And God does the same, I think, for us, that we get sometimes to be chosen by God to do things that need to be done. Mary, Joseph, Zachariah, and Elizabeth were not really super important people in the category of in the world, but they did have one other thing that I think is important for us. They were faithful to God. In every one of their stories, they talked about how they were either faithful or good or favored before God. So they were people who were willing to follow God, not on the big stuff, but they were faithful to God in just the little simple things. Making a dinner, talking to people, being people who connected with others. They weren't people who made a big show, but they were people who were faithful day in and day out. We have this little plaque in our kitchen that says that friendship isn't one big thing, it's a million little things. And I want to turn that a little bit saying that being faithful is not the big things, doing the big things, but it's the million little things that we do that many times goes unnoticed by people. And yet, this is what brought Mary and Joseph and Zachariah and Elizabeth to be under that category of chosen. God is not looking for the next mother or father of the Messiah here. But God is looking for you and I to have those little steps of being faithful. Of little steps of when we meet the stranger, or when we talk to a friend, or when we share our life and share our resources with one another, that we become eligible to be chosen by God. You know, a lot of people over and over again have said to me, I don't feel like, you know, I know what God's will is in my life. I want to know what God wants me to do. God wants you to be faithful in the little things. And then that big thing may come. That's what God wants us to be, is faithful in the day in and day out stuff. He doesn't want us looking and saying, okay, I'm going to be the best preacher in the world, or I'm going to be, you know, a CEO, or I'm going to be the most influential person in my community. He's not asking us to do that. That's not necessarily his will. And we're not going to see a burning bush or the angel Gabriel show up on us. You know, God, you know, it's interesting. God really just uses those things one time. Do you ever notice there weren't any other burning bushes in the Bible? Just one, because that was for Moses. And also, it's interesting, too, is that Gabriel must have been a one-hit wonder. Showed up to Mary and Joseph. That's it. You know, I kind of, you know, you think about that. It's all eternity. Was Gabriel practicing his lines? Do not be afraid. No. Do not be afraid. No. Do not be afraid. Was he spending all eternity practicing this one line? Because that's it. This was his big moment. God is not going to send us an angel, Gabriel, or a burning bush. He's got something specifically for us to hear, for us to see, for us to understand when it comes to the time when he calls us to be his people. So we're not called to spend our lives looking for that great moment. Mary certainly didn't sit around thinking, ooh, I wonder if I'll be the mother of the Messiah. She just remained faithful each day. Remained following Jesus. Now, so that's the good news. That we are chosen by God, not because we're anybody's, but because we're nobody's, because God loves us. And also, that the qualification to be chosen is to be faithful in those little things, not the big stuff. There's some difficult news or difficult information that we need to deal with as well. Because being chosen by God also means that when we do get chosen, we got to be willing to make some huge changes in our lives. We got to adjust and be willing to adjust. I mean, think about Mary and Joseph. Think of all of us who have had children. How huge of an adjustment it was to have your first child. You know, I remember that when Sandy was born and we brought her home. And one of the big things that for me that was I was paranoid with, I understand why young children have nightmares, is because their father is standing over the crib looking down, making sure they're breathing. You know. And that was me. You know, that adjustment in being a parent. But can you imagine the adjustment that Mary and Joseph had? You know, Gabriel doesn't mince words. He says, you're going to be the mother of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to be the Son of God. Wow. What questions do you have as a parent? Do you teach him the law, or is he already going to know it? Do we, as parents, have to be perfect? Because he's going to be perfect. And what if he asks for a cookie before dinner? Do I say no? They had not only these adjustments, but other huge adjustments that they had to go through as the parent of the chosen Messiah of the world. About where to live. About the fact that they had to pick up and travel and move to Egypt for protection, abandon and leave families and their reputation, and just huge adjustments When we are chosen by God, we cannot live the same way that we have always lived, doing the same things. God calls us to a new life, a new thing. But also being chosen means that we live in a level of uncertainty. We are not going to always know what God is up to. God may say, I want you to do this, or be this, or go here. But for some reason, God doesn't give us all the details. And so we have to walk by faith. Mary and Joseph were told, you will have the Messiah. Okay. But they didn't get all the details. Oh, by the way, you got to go to Bethlehem. Oh, there's going to be some Far East people showing up with camels. Some shepherds showing up. Yeah, there's going to be some angels, too. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have to run to Egypt for a couple years. And Mary and Joseph lived with a level of uncertainty about what they needed to do, when they needed to do, but yet they were willing to listen and follow what God had to have them do. They were out of control. God was in control. So being chosen means that we have to allow God to be in control. Now, did you ever think about this? Not only did Mary and Joseph have this huge adjustment about having this child and being chosen by God, but what did Mary and Joseph's parents feel like? Yeah, their daughter and son-in-law are going to be the parents of the Messiah, but that means a lot. And that had to be a huge shift for them as well. So when we come and we think about being chosen, there are some really good news in our lives about it. There are some really bad news that we have to deal with as we encounter it. That willingness to let God take control, that willingness to go where He calls us, to continue to be faithful. Because we are not going to always know how it's going to turn out. Hebrews is great about saying that all these great people in the Bible followed God faithfully, never seeing the completion of His promises, and yet they were chosen. So we are not going to always know. And this is one of the reasons why I want to finish up with this song, which has been sung many times, Mary, Did You Know? Because it is a song that asks that question. She was chosen, but she didn't know all the details, and yet she continued to be faithful.
Just try when you kiss your little baby. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
Do you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for the blessing that we have of knowing what Mary didn't know, of knowing what she was chosen to be about, and being able to be participants and also benefactors in Jesus Christ's life and death. But Lord, we ask that as we come before this Advent season and considering how we are a chosen people, as a church, but as individuals, and that we are called to be your people, maybe not knowing the results of what we are to do, but to continue to be faithful to you and faithful to the calling that you give to each of us. Pray this in Christ's name, our Lord. Amen. So as we celebrate communion today, and as we take the bread and the cup, let us remember that, yes, we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen people. How has God called you to be his chosen person in this world? Would you pray with me? God, take this bread, this cup. And as we take these, and we are reminded that your chosen Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world to die for us, for his body to be broken, his blood to be shed. And so, Lord, as we take this bread and this cup, may we be reminded that the chosen one, the Son of God, was willing to be faithful, and that we too, through your grace and your power and your spirit, that we too are chosen and also called to be your people. We thank you, Lord, for the examples that we have of Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth, but most of all, of your Son Christ. We pray this blessing as we partake of this meal. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And on that night that Christ had finished his earthly ministry, and with his chosen 12 around the table, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, to do it in remembrance of me." Chosen ones of God, the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of him. The man of Christ took the cup. He blessed it, and as he poured it out, he said, "This is my blood, the remission of all your sins, the new covenant. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." Children of God, the blood of Christ, do this in remembrance of him. Almighty and gracious God, we praise you and give you thanks for this opportunity to share with your people this time of remembering Christ, remembering his call to us, that as we leave this place, to be faithful to you in each and every way that we can. We pray in Christ's name, our Lord. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.